Welcome to True Fraud. I'm your host, Pablo Torres. I'm the head of risk and compliance at Reach. Today, we're going to talk about the something that a lot of people have probably seen over the news, something that has affected merchants and businesses in general, I think specifically for online businesses and for possibly the people from Australia. There was an article that came out a few months ago, I want to say maybe 3 months ago, that talks about four of the main banks in Australia that were, I guess, attacked and they were subject to an attack of ransomware. And there was a lot of data that was compromised during that attack. Here at Reach, we're always looking into what's hot, I guess, in the market when it's in regards to data and who has had access to it. Most of the times whenever you see articles like this is for something that happened months and months ago. When we started going through a lot of the volume that we were seeing from Australia, where we have metrics, if we have different types of engines and alerts that give us metrics in regards to increases of chargebacks, increasing suspicious activity, increasing failed authorizations, or, you know, just data in general, as many other processing companies do. The interesting part, or I guess where all of that data comes handy, is when you put it all together and then you start applying it to kind of real life statistics. We noticed that there was an increase in fraud-related chargebacks for some of the clients that choose not to use our fraud services. We thought that it was interesting because it seemed almost like something was happening in Australia. And this is, and I'm talking about, you know, summer of 2023. This is way before the article had come out. But whenever we notice anything, we deploy controls that's based on the criteria of the pattern that we have identified. In this case, we were seeing this across the board, not just with one of our clients, but with multiple accounts, which tells us something a little bit different. And it's the fact that that merchant specifically is not being targeted by one single group. It tells us that there's something much bigger going on. And then as we deployed specific controls to identify the criteria of that pattern for the merchants that we provide fraud services to, and even for some of the ones where we don't do fraud for, we still, you know, it's still our accounts, right, as a merchant of record. So we want to provide the best service possible for our partners, but also maybe we don't want to get in the way of something that they likely are doing on their end. And so some of those controls may be basic for some of those clients. And then, of course, for the ones where we do fraud for, we basically what we did was just adjust and adapt some of our existing controls. It's interesting how, regardless of this happening of the compromising of these main four banks in Australia, the patterns don't change that much. It's more about the volume that you're dealing with, and of course there's going to be more people that get their hands on them, so there's going to be more activity online, and there's going to be people that are doing things slightly different. But it's kind of like if everyone went to the same school. And I remember I gave this talk, I want to say maybe 6-7 years ago in San Francisco, about the school of fraud and how it seems like whenever you look at the patterns from each country, and maybe sometimes based on the specific payment method, because some of those payment methods are based on geographically or are limited geographically, it seems like they all go to sort of the same school. I'm sure that that's going to change as people get more savvy and they get more connected with logs and just data that they come across online. But it still seems like the base of it all is it's kind of follows the same path. You know, it's sort of a river, and in that river, there's the people that are trying to commit fraud, and then you just add more people to that same stream, and everyone kind of follows the same path. Every once in a while, you know, if you think about it with the analogy, there might be some rain, which is, you know, if you want to compare it to data, then there's going to be more data and it's just going to overflow. And there's going to be, you know, a few more paths that are going to get formed with that overflow of water. And so it's sort of the same way it happened in Australia, where we started seeing a few different trajectories of the data and patterns of the data that was being used. We were able to identify the banks that were involved in that. And of course, our controls were based on that data. And then months later, you know, I remember we even had this internal meeting where we were saying kind of like in the line, something along the lines of Australia is on steroids, you know, in regards to how much activity we were seeing coming from that country. Of course, the moment that article was published, then a lot of people kind of queued into the, hey, that probably has to do with that charge that I saw on my credit card for $20 that a lot of people just brush off and they just move on, right? And in this case, a lot of these people likely reported their cards to their bank as lost or stolen. And a lot of that activity has gone down a lot. We're still seeing a lot of stuff going on in Australia, but it was very interesting how our team was able to identify this much, much earlier than when it was really reported, right? Again, whenever you hear of anything going on in the industry, it's likely at least 3 months old. And so when the article came out, we were in a meeting and one of our agents shared the article and we were kind of all like, that makes sense. Okay. And of course, you know, like in previous episodes, I've talked about how in the payment industry, you have these silos and these companies that are kind of trying to handle that data and they're trying to do their job by mitigating fraud. But at the same time, you have the nemesis, which is this organized crime group that is connected by all of the data that's available in the market. On this side, we're looking at companies that have access to that data, but they handle it in silos and they develop their own strategies because they make a profit out of that. And they don't want to share that strategy with the other companies to mitigate the fraud, because in the end, that's a business. But and then we have on the other side, the people that are trying to use that data to also generate profit, but because everyone is using the same information, then everyone is sort of connected in one way or another, right? And it last time I remember, I talked about the dark web and you know, I think the access to data has become so prevalent and there's so much of it that you don't really need to get as far as, you know, trying to use the Onion router or anything like that. I remember just somebody trying to add me on a fake Instagram profile that I have. And it was this kid from somewhere in the States that was selling credit cards on Instagram. And the photos on the profile were just a bunch of cards laying on his bed. And that was it, you know? So you don't even need to go that far. Sometimes even just by doing a quick Google search, you can find blogs where they're selling Netflix accounts. Sometimes they're even just free, you know, they just post them there and then you can have access to that. And then of course, if you want to go a little bit deeper and commit some fraud, then you can try to find some information about that person with that email and then try to access other merchants that you may see on their Facebook profile that they use or, you know, something like that. So again, the access to information is so prevalent. There's so much of it out there. It seems like nobody's afraid of sharing it in their social media profiles. And it's just so, so easy to really have access to it. You don't need to get too far. When you're a merchant and there's so many things that you're trying to take care of. You have your fulfillment center, you have your couriers, you have your marketing team, you're trying to sell, you're trying to figure out what payment methods to offer. And really, the last thing that comes to mind is something, you know, somebody's going to try to commit fraud and hit your account, or is going to try to get goods for free. Everyone is vulnerable. And I think it's, like I said before, it's not a matter of if, it's more of when. And I think that when you get into this market, especially if you're going to go global, you need to be aware of what's happening out there. Reading, just keeping tabs on if there's any company that was hacked. You know, you don't need to focus on just banks in order to figure out what's going to affect you. It could be anything. It could be that billions of records that were obtained from multiple companies, one of them being Twitter or X. The data that was collected from that platform is not credit card data. Or maybe it is, but I'm sure that the majority of it is just emails and names. And that alone is already a really good start for people to try to obtain access to other platforms that that person uses. Even if they don't try to gain access to that platform, but just creating an alternate identity for that person and then start opening accounts or profiles in other platforms using that information, that already is committing fraud, right? And so if you're a merchant and you think that only when there's credit card information involved in the data that gets compromised, then you're limiting your view as to what's how vulnerable you are. And so you want to make sure that the articles that you're reading on a daily basis, you are trying to adapt how that can affect you as a business. For example, maybe there's no credit card information involved in that, but maybe you're seeing a lot of brand new accounts being opened on your platform, and maybe they're not adding payment methods yet. How do you know that maybe this group figure out that because you offer some sort of referral program, now these people have access to thousands of emails with names and legitimate information, so that if your fraud team, if you have a specific fraud team, is trying to validate these identities, they're going to find them on social media and they're going to say, yeah, this looks good. And they might not be connected, but the fact that you're getting a referral from another person, and then suddenly one day all of these people are trying to buy the same item and everyone is going to get $10, $15 off, but you giving them access to that referral program, then you're going to start losing a lot of money. This is something that should be attracting new buyers, legitimate buyers. And when you have something like that, then you're just giving them access to some of the merchandise that you're covering, some of that cost that you're losing through the referral program. But these people are abusing it, so you're actually going to be losing that much more money. And so just because there's no credit card involved, or maybe not a fraudulent transaction happening during the creation of these profiles or during the checkouts of this merchandise, it doesn't mean that it's not fraud. You need to be able to adapt. You need to be able to identify the data that's available out there in the market and how it can be used against you. Again, it's not always just a fraudulent transaction that turns into a chargeback. The majority of the times is. But you need to look at your profile as a merchant and see, how can they take advantage of what I'm offering? Another way, for example, would be what we see with some of the countries where they offer low risk payment methods. And a lot of the times these payment methods, they get used to place these orders. And so there might not be a chargeback associated with them. You know, in Mexico, there is this payment method called OXXO. And basically you just go and pay at a convenience store and that's it. And that's your order. Really, OXXO doesn't care if they're getting paid with money that came from somebody getting mugged or from a credit card that was compromised or anything like that. They don't. So for you as a merchant, there's no risk associated with that, right? Wrong. Because you're thinking, well, there's not going to be any chargeback, so I'm just going to get my sales and that's it. Well, what about your reputational risk, What about you as a business, and you're letting transactions from people that are getting their cards compromised, and then they're seeing the payment for OXXO with the name of your merchant account? And so all of these things, they affect your business in very different ways. And so if you're just saying that the only protection that you should have is in regards to the credit cards or PayPal or the Klarnas or, you know, the payment methods where you can get affected by getting a dispute or a chargeback associated with each charge, then you're limiting that view, and then you're becoming vulnerable. So nobody's impervious to these attacks. A couple years back, we started getting calls from the RCMP, and it was actually RCMP people asking about cards from their credit union. And they were asking who we were or who this merchant was. And after a few calls, then we started asking the questions back to the people that were calling. And it was very clear to us that their credit union had been targeted, and all of the credit cards that were part of the RCMP for that area were targeted, and that data was compromised. So it was out in the market. And so there were a bunch of transactions that had gone through some of the accounts. Again, they had the correct address, they had the right names, they had some of the transactions actually even had in the shipping address, they had the names of the daughters of the officers, which was very interesting to see. So again, social media right there, right? And so when we figured this out, then of course we blocked the bin, and then, you know, we took action in regards to where the data was coming from, how many transactions were affected. You as a cardholder, you're never going to think that, oh, you know, that attack is never going to get to me. But it will. It probably already has. Again, you know, like I said before, there's so many cards in the market that it is more likely that your card will expire before it gets used. And so it doesn't mean that your personal information is not out there. It just means it's a matter of time. A lot of the data that's available, you know, specifically with this Australian attack, will affect your business not only in the way that you're going to look at the transactions that are turning into chargebacks, but it's also going to translate into the success rate of transactions that you have. If you're looking into kind of your average Australian success auth rate, it being 95, 96, 97%, and then suddenly you see a drop and you're looking at 70%, it's not because you're doing your business wrong. It's because of what's happening out there. What's in the environment that's affecting your business. And so being aware of those things also help you identify the strategy that you should be following. Because at that point, when you're seeing that amount of failed authorizations, you might freak out and go to your service provider and say, hey, your business sucks. But it's not that. It's actually the banks are doing their job, so they're failing those to start with. And then if your payment service provider, it's also rejecting a bunch of transactions, it's not because they're just rejecting legitimate people. So get educated as to what's happening out there in the market, and then use that. All of these things are like the combination of it all, as complicated as overwhelming as it seems, it begins with just getting educated, staying on top of the news, staying on top of the way that you handle your data, the way that you can access it, and then using the opinion from the experts.
Brought to you by the Reach Network. Visit withreach.com/network for more.